Hey there, listeners. Editing Keegan here. I wanted to chime in at the top of this episode and just let you know that we were experiencing some sound issues in the first 15 minutes, mostly, of this episode. There appears to be what sounds like static that might come through periodically. I did my best to edit out as much of it as I could, but I wasn't able to edit all of it out. Feel free to skip the first 15 minutes in which we discuss Sha'Carri Richardson if that's something that really bothers you. We are working to get our recording set up where we want it to be in order to give you the best sound quality possible. In the meantime, please just bear with us. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
It sure is, Keegan.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Tired again, but you know what? I'm feeling better now that I'm sitting. I've got some water, I've got some wine, I've got some Keegan. It's all going to be good.
We're ready to get started.
Yes, we are.
How was your holiday?
I went out on the 3rd. Oh my gosh, this was the most un-me thing ever. Like, I haven't done this since I was probably like 23 years old. I went out with my friends, was there at closing time at the bar.
Oh yeah.
Got kicked, like, you know, escorted out of the bar or whatever, like, you gotta go. And then we ordered a Lyft and it took an hour to get there.
Yeah.
And it was like 2:30 in the morning. So we didn't get home until like 3:30. And then I was like wide awake.
Yeah. Lyft, there's like a limited number of drivers right now.
Yeah, there was one driver, and we were in North Hollywood, and they were at the Burbank Airport. And then we kept, like, my friends kept canceling other ones because they were taking so long.
Oh, Lord.
So then, like, eventually we just, like, sat on a curb and, like, waited it out.
That happened to me on New Year's Eve. When I went out to, like, a dance party on New Year's Eve. It was, like, a prom-themed dance party.
Oh, yeah.
And that happened because it was New Year's Eve and there was, like, no drivers. And I'm in, like, the worst heels, like, 5-inch heels.
Oh,
my feet feel like they're falling off in this giant fluffy pink dress. And I'm just waiting on the curb. We were waiting for, like, an hour and a half.
It was horrible. Yeah, and then I had to work a full shift the next day, and I was fine for the first, like, 4 hours. And then the last 4 hours, I started to kind of feel my hangover kick in. It was really weird. Like, I felt fine in the morning. I was, like, a little tired, of course, but I wasn't, like, feeling sick or anything. And then, like, halfway through my workday, I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's
the
worst.
And I'm, like, on my feet the whole day, too, so I'm like,
you were probably still drunk. Like, I feel like that's what happens to me when I wake up and I'm like, oh, I feel okay. And then, like, 3 hours later, I'm like, oh, no.
I wasn't that drunk, though. By the time I got home, I felt pretty sober. We just smoked a joint, watched The Golden Girls, and at, like, 4:30, finally went to bed.
Oh, Lord. Well, thank you, listeners, for bearing with us and allowing us to have the weekend off. I think that we needed it, you know. It was kind of just, everything's been a whirlwind. We've been talking about, like, our work lives are crazy, our recording lives are crazy, and moving and everything else on top of it. It was really nice to have a weekend off. But, of course, we know we want to provide you with your regularly scheduled programming as often as we can.
Well, yeah, because we like doing this a hell of a lot more than we like doing a lot of other things in our lives, you know?
Very true.
All right, well, let's get started with things in the news. What do you have today?
Well, I have a feeling one of the things that we have will be the same thing, and that is talking about Sha'Carri Richardson.
No, I don't have that, actually, no.
Okay.
I've been reading a lot about it, but that's not what I have my notes on today.
Alrighty then. Well,
talk to me, baby. Talk to me.
I would be happy to. So, I think everybody, at least in the States, is pretty well aware of Sha'Carri Richardson. Even if you're not aware of this current situation, her picture and video of her running the 100 meter to get qualified to go to the Olympics went viral.
And she's got such a unique look, too, where I feel like her face sticks in your memory really, really easily because of that, too.
Long eyelashes, like fiery red-orange hair.
Yeah.
And, you know, she was fast. So fast. And another part of her story that I think stuck out to a lot of people was that her mother passed away just a week or so before the race, and after the race she ran up the bleachers to hug her grandmother, who was at the top of the bleachers. And also, another thing about her story that I didn't know until I was doing prep for this was that when her mother passed away, she was actually informed of that by a reporter.
Oh, no.
So it's awful. Like,
how, do you know how her mom passed away?
I don't. And I also have heard her referred to as her biological mother, so I don't know if there's a...
like an adopted mother.
Or some other kind of situation there. But regardless, I mean, crushing.
Yeah, that's the thing that I hate is, like, when, you know, if law enforcement or anyone has some sort of information, whenever it's, like, given out, like, a name or anything like that, it's, like, it's hurting the kids if that name gets out, or family members who don't know what's going on.
Right,
you know?
And, you know... a lot of reporters are doing incredible work. We obviously need journalists. We need to protect journalism. But then there are people who work in journalism who I feel like will do anything for a story.
Yeah.
Will do anything to kind of elicit emotion out of people just so they can get some kind of soundbite or something.
Yeah, and I think for as many good journalists there are out there, there's probably just as many that, like, don't have a code of ethics, want the story, don't care if it's fact-checked, and are just going to throw it out there, hope it sticks to the wall and people believe that, you know?
Yeah, whatever they have to do to get their name out there, get that byline or whatever.
Right.
But that's awful. I can't imagine finding out something like that that way.
Absolutely horrible.
So she was the favorite to win the gold for the 100-meter sprint at the upcoming Olympics until... gasp. She tested positive for marijuana at the end of last week, and this means that she will likely face a competition ban of some length. The sanction for a positive test can range from a max penalty of a 2-year ban to a minimum of 1 month, depending on the, quote, nature of the infraction.
Right, and I feel like, hopefully, with it being marijuana, it shouldn't be a maximum, you know, penalty. But because of who Sha'Carri Richardson is,
well,
you know,
to me it's so wild. I'm like, for as much as America loves winning, you'd think that they'd just be like, just look the other way.
Well, because... did you see the chick that they want to bring on, like the Mormon chick that's like, I want to be the face of, like, drugs are bad, and, like, they want her to go.
I'm sure they've already brought her on then.
Yeah.
Because she has been entirely kicked from the 100 meter. She will not run the 100 meter. And she was slated to win the gold. Like, that was most likely what was going to happen.
Look, she's fast as fuck.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah. But THC, for some dumb reason, is banned by the World Anti-Doping Agency during in-competition periods, a time frame that technically begins at 11:59 p.m. the day before competition starts. So under World Anti-Doping rules, athletes are allowed to have up to 150 nanograms per millimeter of THC without causing a positive test. So penalties are lowered in instances where the drug violation is not considered a performance-enhancing drug, which will likely be argued in Richardson's case. If she chooses to appeal, that is what they're going to say, because marijuana is not a performance-enhancing drug.
No, if anything, it, like, people would argue to say it makes you lazier. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, and also, I know this from having... had job interviews where I was going to have to get, you know,
drug tested
back when I did smoke recreationally. And THC stays in your system, can stay in your system for months. Like, it can stay in your system for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And she did not smoke on the day she ran.
Right.
So that's part of it. It's not like it was, it's not like doping, you know.
Yeah, she wasn't, like, lighting a joint before she went out to run. You know?
Right. So initially, Sha'Carri was, though she was banned from running in the 100-meter individual race, she was still potentially eligible to run in the Olympics as part of the relay team. So this would have been at the discretion of the National Track and Field body, but they made a decision on Tuesday to leave her name off of the roster.
Awful.
So she will not be running in the Olympics at all. So though she was not going to be running in the 100 meter, there was still a chance for her to at least be able to attend the Olympics and run as part of the relay team, and they could have made that call. They because there, I think there was like three that had to go on, the top three.
Yeah.
And then they got to choose two runners to be on the team. And they chose not to have her run. So in a statement, the USATF, which I think is the USA Track and Field Association, said that it was, quote, incredibly sympathetic towards Sha'Carri Richardson's extenuating circumstances and fully agrees that international rules regarding marijuana should be reevaluated, but that it cannot make exceptions
for her in order to maintain fairness to the other athletes. So she's like, all these other athletes followed the rules.
Right.
Sha'Carri Richardson didn't follow the rules, so we can't make an exception for her.
But when are they saying that she smoked the weed? Because what you said in the beginning was that she couldn't smoke before a certain time, like on the day of or anything like that. Like, didn't it show up after she ran the drug test and everything like
that? I think the drug test was after she ran, but I'm not sure. But I think the amount she had in her system was still more than they would allow. So,
but she wasn't competing. That's what I don't understand. Like, if she wasn't actually about to go out and run, did she smoke after? Like, that's the thing, is that I don't understand the timing of the drug test.
Maybe I'm wrong. She did smoke before, but it wasn't the day of the run. So it could have been a couple of days before.
But it still was in her system enough.
Right. And a lot of people are pointing out, like, again, she just went through trauma. And people cope with that in different ways. And where she came from, it's legal in many states recreationally or medically in the United States at this point. And she put out a statement basically saying, like, I'm human. Like, I'm a human being. Everybody has their thing. And for this to even, I get it, whatever. Like, everyone keeps saying, well, the rules are the rules. And I'm like, I fucking get it. But first of all, let's examine why those rules exist.
Exactly.
In the first place, because they seem pretty fucking racist to me.
100%, yeah.
There's a racist history about the origin of criminalizing marijuana in the first place. Right. So why does that rule exist in the first place? I think we need to take a closer look.
Yeah, especially if, you know, the United States Track and Field Association is saying that they sympathize and all this kind of stuff, and, like, the rule does need to be changed. Well, can we see how you're going to do that? Is there talk? Can you tell us if that's something that you're working towards? So at least this isn't going to happen again in 4 more years. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, is if you're wanting to commit to making a change so that this won't happen again, I wish in that statement they would explain how they're going to go about doing that.
Well, I don't know if the U.S. Track and Field Association has the ability to make that call, because I think that they adhere to the rules of the
Olympic
US
Committee.
Or the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency.
Right.
And they have said that in addition to substances that trigger performance enhancement, the banned list also includes drugs that can pose health risks to athletes or violate the, quote, spirit of the sport.
Oh, so they're saying, well, that's a huge blanket. You can say anything affects the spirit of the sport.
Right. Exactly. It's a total cop-out. And if you're going to do that, then why not ban alcohol?
Yeah.
Right? Like, alcohol totally is damaging. Why not ban certain prescription medicines or in certain quantities? You know? Like, I just feel like it's such a weird, arbitrary line to draw to say, we actually have banned this, not because it's performance enhancing, but because we are trying to protect the
athletes or whatever. Right. What about, like, Michael Phelps, though? Remember when that whole thing went down and came out that he smoked a bunch of weed all the time and still swam like a motherfucker? Like,
yes. I think that the reason why he got away with that was because it was not during a competition period.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's such
But people were fine with that. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure there were people that were upset, but I don't remember there being the same kind of vitriol toward the person when that happened. It was more so like, I don't know, I almost feel like he got more admiration because of that.
Oh, sure. He became like such a bro.
Yeah.
I feel like.
It's the same thing as like Tom Brady now, like after going to Florida, he's like this dad. Like, he's totally kind of changed his persona, and he's like so much more likable now. And
I feel like people have a perception of Sha'Carri Richardson that is racist, first of all,
and homophobic.
Yes, and it's because of the way she looks. Like, as an Olympic athlete, I feel like we have this expectation of this cookie cutter kind of athlete, right?
Yeah.
And she's not that. Like I said, she's got like bright orange hair. She's got long lash extensions. She's got
She's got like a septum piercing. Like, she just looks fucking cool. And she looks like a girl her age. You know what I mean? And I think it's amazing that, because she knows this, like, she knows that in her sport, you're supposed to look a certain way or act a certain way. Like, I couldn't have had funky colored hair when I was a skater, because there's no way my coach would have let me go out on the ice with pink hair.
And I'm sure it was discouraged for her as well. I'm sure she had people telling her, like, take out your piercings, you know, change your hair. I'm sure she had people telling her that, because she drew a lot of attention to herself by doing this. And who knows if the reaction to her having smoked weed would be the same if she wasn't essentially a pop culture celebrity at this moment.
Yeah. And I think that she's created a lot of enemies just because of her appearance and how good she is, that when this came up, it was almost like more fuel to the fire for people to like not like her.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. But she did put out a statement where her attitude is so incredible. I would be so devastated. You work your whole life to get to this point. You have this incredible moment right after your mom has passed away, right? And you're thinking like, this is it.
Yeah,
like,
I'm this is getting my moment. To
live my dream,
yeah.
You know? And I would be in bed for a week, you know?
Oh, yeah. And any statement I made would be like, fuck this, fuck that, fuck, right. fuck.
But she said, this is just one games. I'm 21. I'm very young. I have plenty of games left in me to compete in. I have plenty of talent that backs me up because everything I do comes from me naturally. No steroid, no anything. This incident was about marijuana. So after my sanction is up, I'll be back and able to compete. And every single time I step on the track, I'll be ready for whatever anti-doping agency to come and get what it is that they need.
Wow.
So she's like, look, I've learned from this experience.
Yeah.
It won't happen again. And when I fucking come back, I'm going to
win,
destroy
some more.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that is such a, it's such a fucking shitty, stupid situation. And I hate that it's happening, but
she's so wise.
Yeah.
Especially to realize that like your time isn't done. And I think that we, as Americans and probably in other countries too, there's something about like wanting to be the youngest to do
yes.
something or doing something young in your, like when you're in your prime and doing something amazing. Like that's kind of like the hero story that a lot of Americans really, really rely upon.
Yeah.
So the fact that she's like, I have time, I think is really, really amazing. Because
yeah.
I didn't feel like I had time at 21. I was like, I have to be successful, period.
Me too.
You know? So I think that the fact that she has the foresight to see that she's going to keep winning, she's going to come back, she's obviously strong as hell, both mentally and physically.
Yeah. And
amazing.
I really hope that this is kind of, this case is the catalyst and the benchmark, and we can look back in our history and say that, you know, Sha'Carri Richardson was...
Changed the game.
Yeah. You know, so I'm really hoping that that's the case, but...
All right, we gotta just give her all the support we can. That's
yep.
all we can do. I wanted to talk about the murder of Samuel Luis in Spain. This really touched my heart this week, and so I wanted to tell you all a little bit about it. So... Samuel Luis was a 24-year-old nursing assistant who was born in Brazil but moved to Spain when he was a year old. His mother was Spanish and lived within the vicinity of A Coruña, which is where this attack took place. He had studied nursing from the age of 18 to 20 and works as one in a nursing home while studying to become a dental prosthetist? I hate this word. How do you say that word?
Prosthesis.
He wants to be a dental prosthetist.
I think it means dental prosthetics, right?
Like, yes.
Okay.
I just don't like that word.
Me neither.
My mouth doesn't want to make...
It's too many T's and I's and S's.
Don't like it. He grew up in an evangelical Christian faith, played the flute for the congregation, and because of this, he never came out about his sexuality to his father. And his father has said in an interview that he had only once had a conversation with his son about the possibility of him being gay, but Samuel did not want to continue the conversation. So Samuel and his friend Lena and someone else were like out clubbing in Spain one night, and he and Lena went to step outside to smoke. And Samuel, like, video called somebody and then, like, rotated his phone around. It was, like, showing his friend the surroundings or whatever. And as he was doing that, a man and a woman walked by and thought Samuel was filming them. The male then walked up to Samuel and said, "You either stop filming or I'll kill you, F-slur." Samuel only replied, "Why are you calling me F-slur?" before being beaten. Samuel's friend and another man managed to break up the fight, and he asked his friend to help him now find his missing phone. So the fight kind of subsided, and he's like, "I don't have my phone." So his friend Lena like went to go look for this phone. And in the meantime, the two original attackers returned with 12 others who then beat Samuel Luis to death. And this took place over 15 minutes. An ambulance crew showed up to the scene and attempted to revive Samuel, taking him to the hospital where he later died. Following his murder, protests and demonstrations popped up across Spain in Samuel's honor. the president of Galicia, Alberto Núñez Feijóo, it's got two O's at the end, which makes me want to say ooh, condemned the crime, but stated that he would not link the killing to homophobia until that had been established. And it will be a judge that will determine if it was a hate crime or not.
So were the attackers arrested?
I'm getting there. So on July 7th, so yesterday in our world, 2 days ago in podcasting world, three people have been arrested by Spanish police and the investigation is ongoing. They've interviewed, I think, like 13 people, they said, about the situation, because there were the two originals and they brought 12 people back. And then I think it's also the friend would be the other witness of what they're investigating. Two men and one woman are under arrest, and they are between the ages of 20 and 25, and they are suspected of direct participation in the attack. Police aren't ruling out the possibility of more arrests and are basing the investigation, like I said, from 15 witness statements, mobile phone video, as well as security camera footage. So right now, they don't know whether or not to treat this as a hate crime or not, even though it was painfully obvious to everyone in the surroundings that it was a homophobic attack, because the guy didn't like that he thought this guy was filming him.
Right. I mean, is there a possibility that he may have attacked him anyway? Like, there's a possibility. However, the fact that he used a slur during the attack would make it appear...
It was before the attack, too. Like, when he came up to him, he was like, what are you filming, F-word?
Right.
You know what I mean? So he's coming up to him with that, you know, knowledge. He's assuming this person is gay, which he is.
Yes.
And using that as a means to attack him.
Right.
You know, it's straight white men feeling insecure about a gay guy filming him, even though he wasn't. He was just, like, showing his buddy the surroundings on his phone. He got his, you know, masculinity hurt.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, and he and, like, I would assume as maybe, like, a girlfriend or something like that just immediately turned and started beating the crap out of him. And then they finally managed to pull him away, and then 12 more people came.
That is so bizarre.
And it was like a mob. I haven't seen any video. I haven't gone into any of that. I've read about it, and it sounds... I mean, it went on for 15 minutes. Like, it's just absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here trying to think of a reason...
Why it wouldn't be...
And
I guess a judge is going to be the one to decide that, so maybe other law enforcement can't come out and say that it was a hate crime unless the judge has looked over the case and said it. I mean, we're in Spain. We're not in the U.S., so I don't know if things work differently where they can't use that term unless it's been proven that it's a hate crime. That's kind of what
I'm
thinking.
How do you prove that, though? Like, that's, to me, it's always been very strange, the concept that you can prove... short of someone saying, yes, it was a hate crime. Yes, I attacked that person because I didn't like them because of their sexual orientation or their gender
or
their race.
Or,
right?
Yeah.
Unless somebody actually says that, you have to look at the evidence of the circumstance to determine whether or not it is a hate crime, right?
And I'm hoping that that's what they're doing by going through all these interviews and mobile phone videos. I'm hoping that, you know, bystanders got video. You know, hopefully there's enough out there that will make it clear the intent of this attack. And if it wasn't a hate crime, it would just be a total random fucking killing that makes no sense. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that the judge in Spain does the right thing by the deceased.
Random killings happen, but
yeah.
for them to go up to him and immediately start throwing around slurs,
yeah,
it just seems unlikely that it was about something else.
No, I'm 100% on the team of it was for sure a hate crime. I just don't know the legality of, you know, law enforcement or a lawyer or somebody coming out and saying that
right.
in Spain. Because I know that there is some, like, procedure you have to go through in the United States, too, I believe.
Yes.
To figure out, you know,
to qualify
as a hate crime, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm wondering if because it did happen so, you know, recently,
yeah,
that maybe we just don't have all that information yet. And I was working all day today, so I wasn't able to look up any updates on whether or not there were more arrests or if the investigation has gone further. So this is all from Wednesday when I did my notes about the attack. So definitely, you know, have a Google alert for Samuel Luis. I haven't been seeing him a whole lot on Instagram. Only a few friends of mine have posted anything about it. It doesn't seem like it's getting quite the attention in the U.S. that I think it deserves.
I mean, yeah, that's not obviously surprising.
Yeah, but
well, but not entirely obviously, because there are things that happen overseas, right, where they get massive attention in the United States.
But are they
exactly?
Like, are they going to be supporting, you know, a homophobic hate crime? You know what I mean? I think that especially, you right. know, the U.S. being as homophobic as it is, not giving as much attention to that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. It's just like, I'm not surprised that it hasn't received the same kind of media attention that even other international crimes
yeah.
Or crimes that don't take place in the United States do receive here. So
right.
that's a shame. And, you know, thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah.
We will keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
And
he's
hopefully
a sweetie and has so much promise, and I know everybody does, but it's like I hear about all the time he spent in school, and he's paying his way to go back to school by working in a nursing home, and it's like you just hear all these little tidbits about someone's life, and it just makes you, it tugs at your heartstrings even more
yeah.
knowing how that person ended their lives. Like, it's just,
yeah.
it's so infuriating.
It's tragic.
It's
genuinely
absolutely
tragic.
Yeah. I feel horrible for his friends that were there and witnessed it.
I can't imagine.
I can't imagine the guilt of being like, okay, I'm going to go and look for your phone. I'm going to walk over there. And then, like, seconds later, your friend is just
And
gone.
She couldn't have known. I mean,
no, there's no, well, they thought it was over. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, why would you think that they would come back?
No,
you know?
Of course not. It's like, okay, that's over. Let's go find my phone. I want to go home. Like, that's probably the situation that was going on.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how they got those 12 other people so fast, but they...
It must have been nearby.
Yeah.
And that's always something to me, too. I almost saw a fight when I was in Vegas, by the way.
Oh, God.
We were like, don't turn around. Just keep walking. But it's always amazing to me... the ability to get people involved in a situation like that, where
yeah.
like you just have people on hand who are like, yeah, I'll go beat someone to death with you. Like,
absolutely
that is
absurd.
Wild. It's truly wild.
Well,
to me.
You know, I guess like everybody needs to have company somewhere. You know, maybe that's maybe if they were friends, that's the reason they're friends. They have similar worldviews that are
yeah.
shitty. You know
yeah.
what I mean? So it isn't so much like looking for strangers and being like, hey, who wants to beat up this gay kid?
Right.
You know, you already know that people will have your back and
yeah.
things like that. I'm just amazed that they were able to convene so quickly and be so, beating someone to death, like, God.
Brutal.
How can you do that to a person? You have so many opportunities to stop.
Because it's so personal, too. Because,
yeah.
you know, it's not detached. It's not even, it's not poison. It's not a gun, even, where you have some distance. Like, it's so up close and personal. It's
so
hate. And it's
rageful.
Hateful. Yeah,
yes,
it's hateful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I have one more thing to talk about that I wanted to bring up. Partially because I am off of social media right now. I deactivated my Facebook. I tried to deactivate my Instagram, but they won't let me do it for a week. So I am just...
They need you to, like, think about it first and be like, are you sure?
Well, what happened was, and so I'll give this note to anybody who wants to deactivate their
yeah.
Instagram. You have to do it from Instagram.com, from, like, a web browser.
Can't do it from your phone.
You can't do it from the app. So I was
Got
on
it.
My phone, but I went to Instagram.com. I deactivated it successfully, and then I went to hold the app down to remove it from my phone screen, from
right.
the home screen, and it opened the app. And when it opened the app, it re-logged me in. So
oh.
then when I went to go deactivate it again, they say you can only deactivate your account once a week.
Oh.
So now I have to wait a week, but regardless, I'm not checking it. I just really feel like, you know, I deleted it from my phone. I'm not checking it. And I just feel like it's, first of all, for me, it had become such a massive waste of time. Like, I was just finding myself opening it or Facebook or whatever just to open
scroll
it and scroll
and, yeah.
and look at it. And it wasn't making me feel good.
Right.
Like, it wasn't making me feel good about life.
Well, and it's such a time suck, too, because I feel like if you're looking down at your phone and you just kind of, you lose track of time. You're scrolling, and then you look up and you're like, oh, fuck, it's an hour later.
And for what? You
exactly.
know, that's the other part of it. And it was also, like, I'm reading comments, like, tons of comments and
Ugh.
Stuff, and I'm like, Why am I doing...
Why are you reading comments? Max does that too on like random posts.
I always read comments on everything. On YouTube videos, on everything. And so I don't need to know everybody's opinion on everything all the time. And in addition to that, and that will lead us to what I'm going to talk about right now, is... It was just making me feel like shit about myself.
Yeah.
Like, it was just not making me feel good about the way I look, about my life. Like, it was just not serving the purpose that I feel like social media should serve in your life. And so for that reason, I'm taking a break from it. And I feel really good about taking a break from it.
Good.
But I had heard that Norway, actually, recently, this last week... Legislators in Norway have passed new regulations requiring influencers and advertisers to label retouched photos in a bid to fight unrealistic beauty standards.
Thank God.
Yes. So under the recently passed rules, advertisements where a body's shape, skin, or, a body's shape, size, or skin has been retouched, even through a filter before a photo is taken, will need a standardized label designed by the Norwegian Ministry of Children and Family Affairs.
And what happens if they don't?
They will get fined. They could get jail time. For people who are...
Like repeat offenders?
Repeat offenders.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's wild. Yes. Way to go, Norway.
It's intense. But examples of manipulations requiring labeling include enlarging your lips, narrowing your waist, or... exaggerating muscles. The law also covers images from influencers and celebrities if they, quote, receive any payment or other benefit in relation to a post, including on social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, and Twitter. So I think this is a really good thing.
Yeah.
In general, you know, you can say, like, speculate about... what it's really going to accomplish or not, because
and whether or not it's taking away freedoms or, you know, different things like that. But I think you can still post what you want to post. At the very bottom, just add that little hashtag.
Retouched.
Or add whatever you're going to do. You're still putting out into the world a retouched photo and all that kind of stuff, but it's just letting people know that, like, hey, this isn't the real me. And I think that's a great idea.
I do too, because, you know, even if we're not trying to do it, for instance... I had found this filter on Instagram, and it was like, I was like, I just woke up, I want to post something on my story, but I'm just like, I just want something that kind of like smooths everything out, right? Because I'm just like, I just, whatever. And so I did it. I found a filter that was like no filter filter or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I think I have that one too.
And I did it.
Yeah.
And I took a picture. And I was like, yeah, it just looks like me, but like with
a little smoothed out. Like if I had some makeup on or, you know, whatever.
But then I looked closer at it. And I noticed that my nose was smaller, my lips were bigger, and my face was slimmer. This is a no-filter filter. That's what it's called, right? And it really made me kind of spiral out about, like, even on things that aren't supposed to change the way you look.
Yeah.
We can't escape it.
Uh-uh.
It's in everything. And what does that say? That says that my nose should be smaller, my lips should be bigger, my face should be thinner, you know? And... I think filters are fine. I think they're fun.
I mean, we did a whole face filters episode, you know? Right.
But it's damaging whenever you're being fed that, even when you don't want to be. Like, you know, so I think it is good to put a disclaimer on there and just say, look, I like the way I look like this, but just so you know, it's retouched.
Yeah.
And that could mean anything. You don't have to say specifically what was retouched.
Totally.
You just have to... put that disclaimer on there so people aren't out here feeling like that's what you look, that's what you should look like.
Yeah.
You know, or that's what they look like, because it's not at all.
It's really not, yeah.
There was a thing that went viral. It was something that Kim Kardashian posted. It was an ad for like her Skims or whatever.
Yeah.
And she does this thing, she's laying on her side and she does this thing where she runs her finger up the side of her body.
Okay.
And you can see it when she's doing that, when it goes across where like her hip meets her waist, her finger glitches, and it's this weird like long wavy finger, right? Because she had put a body filter on.
Yep.
So it doesn't, they don't do with movement.
Yeah.
So, but you have an entire generation of young people who think that Kim Kardashian looks like that, and she doesn't look
she
like
doesn't.
That.
She doesn't, yeah. You know? And I actually just watched a clip from... their interview with, what's his name? Andy, Watch What Happens Live. What's his name?
Cohen.
Andy, is it Andy Cohen?
Yeah.
I was going to say that, and I was like, that doesn't sound right. But he asked the Kardashians if they believe that they are perpetuating unhealthy beauty standards. And Kim is like, well, we're the ones that do the work. We really care about our health. We eat right. We work out. And I'm like, and that is not, but this, that's the thing that drives me crazy is when people point to beauty standards as being health. They don't equate.
Well, and regardless, that's not what you're doing. And no. You know it. You know exactly. Filters are part
unless
of your brand.
Unless she believes her own bullshit, which she very much could.
But she knows she's putting filters on her pictures. Like, that's the thing is, like, you know you're doing it. Like, yeah. You know that there's a body filter on that image. So for you to say it's all working out is, that statement in itself is perpetuating unhealthy, unrealistic beauty standards.
Well, because
you are telling girls that if you work out hard enough, you can look like this. And that's not true because you don't even look like that.
No,
like,
none of them do. None of them look like themselves anymore. It's absolutely crazy. And I just, I hate when people throw around like fitness and health being one and the same. It's like, it's not the fucking same. And it's honestly like saying that like, yeah, girls, you need to spend 6 hours a day doing crunches, doing leg lifts, doing push-ups to look like me. And then you'll be successful once you look like me.
Yeah,
just
none of that
me,
is
that's
true.
It,
and
you know?
And they don't even do it anyway, so the whole thing is null and void. It's just,
and
it's all bullshit.
And what's their fucking job? They have all the time in the world. They have personal gyms. They have personal trainers. They have people to cook their food. That's not our reality.
And they have plastic surgery, let me tell you.
Exactly. Kim's, out the wazoo.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but
no.
You just be honest
but
about it.
But don't claim that you've done nothing but work out and
right.
Eat right.
Yeah.
That's bullshit
just
to me.
Be honest about it so that other people have realistic expectations about what their bodies are supposed to be like and look like.
Yeah.
You know, I the whole thing drives me nuts. But the point is, good on Norway. They're doing this in an effort to curb unhealthy beauty standards. So it's going to go into effect a little later on this year.
Yeah.
And I'm for it. And I think that we should do something similar in this country. They're a little concerned that it might lead to a rise in plastic surgery so that people don't have to put disclaimers on their photos. They'll just
right.
Get surgery and then...
Well, again, then it's only going to be for people that have the money
exactly.
That are going to be able to do the plastic surgery. So then I guess it's kind of like...
It's elitist in a way. But
it's elitist, but then at the same time, I think you also have to realize that when you're on the Instagram page of someone who has a lot of money, you always have to look at everything with a grain of salt.
Absolutely.
You know? Like, there isn't reality in that for you and I.
Yes.
You know?
And so, I guess I'll end this, since I started it talking about the fact that I'm not on social media right
yeah.
Now, is to say, because I know we have a lot of younger listeners in our demographic, just be very mindful of what you are consuming online, how you are consuming it, and take everything... You should take everything with a grain of salt. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Know that the life that you are seeing, even not even just from big influencers, the life you are seeing me post on my Instagram is not the full story of my life or
right.
Who I am or
yeah.
How good or bad things are going.
Yeah.
So if you think that your life isn't good enough because you're comparing it to everybody else's, their lives aren't like that either.
No.
It's just the way that it is.
It's really, really not. Oh, everybody, thank you so much for listening to another What's in the News episode. If there's anything that you would like for us to talk about in the future, please go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com or direct message us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. I will be checking those. We have a Facebook business and group page. You can go ahead and like and review us on the business page and chat with the other listeners on the group page. And the thing we appreciate the absolute most, the way that you can help us out, is to leave us a positive 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and you will be featured on our Instagram for Reviews Day Tuesday. All right, that's all we got for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you
to rage on.
Bye!